I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk Facebook Marketplace,
Jacob Elordi on SNL, and Julia Fox's Live and Goes.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
A problem with the Barbie. I mean, everybody loves so much, but I went to see it and, you know, it was not my culture. I come from communism. I never liked dolls to play with. When I was young, I was playing with the invisible beings, the shadows.
I'm here for That's Not My Culture. I think we should start more reviews with That's Not My Culture.
That's not my culture.
Because it sets you up to be like, okay, like I don't participate in it, I don't relate. She's like not hating on it, but she's just saying, not for me.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. It's the same way as like, also I think people should start saying, I played with invisible beings.
And shadows.
For anyone listening who doesn't inherently know who the hell that just was, Marina... I don't know her surname, Abramovo.
Sorry, I'm really going to leave you to drown.
The famous performance artist who has done things like reuniting with a lover after years of separation, yes, et cetera, et cetera.
Which was actually very beautiful.
Yeah, her
and
work
weird.
Is beautiful and weird.
She did this thing that I did a copy of at uni where she had like a table of things and she just sat there and you could do whatever you wanted. Like there were like texts you could draw on her, you could dress her, but there was also a gun with a bullet in it and knives and pins and stuff like that. And anyone was welcome to come through and like all the stuff was just there. And I did a version of that. So I went to drama school where everybody came in and that Miley song had just come out, that We Can't Stop. So that was playing and everybody had food and like it was all like tomato sauce, juice, and they like poured it on me. And then I made them all sit down after I was like truly covered in shit watch me take a bath to the song, Hope There's Someone Who'll Take Care of Me When I Die.
And were you taking it seriously as well?
My teachers cried. They were so moved by it.
HD on that assignment.
D. It was stunning.
Slate that.
It was really powerful stuff.
That's amazing. I'm imagining like a Samantha in Sex and the City movie where she's like covered herself in all the sushi.
Yeah.
And then the guy doesn't come home and she's like, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like that.
Yeah.
Except with people who refused to let me give them hand jobs because they were gay.
Yeah. And a couple straight as well. Maybe.
Maybe.
We can hold that
hope.
There
might have been some bisexuals.
Yeah, there might have been.
Did
That's
I tell you
true.
That I was the only out gay man in my performing arts degree?
Wow.
Not the only gay man, but the only
the
out.
The only out one.
Very
yeah,
brave.
Absolutely. God, I wish some of them stayed in. I'll tell you that much.
No, I know.
I was well, like, we get it.
Part of me got annoyed when they started to like have like dramatic coming outs over the course of our course. And I'd be like, babe, like...
We've known.
Yeah, yeah, we've been new.
This is the closet true. Was class.
Here we are at our performing arts degree.
Yes. Someone, because people have been commenting on Marina's commentary about the Barbie movie, which
yes.
is just so funny, being like, I was not playing with dolls. I was playing with invisible beings and shadows. And then people were like, she's not joking either, because apparently in the 90s, she did this other like weird exhibit about spirit cooking. Did you hear about this?
No.
It was like she did some kind of like ritual thing where she was like trying to like summon spirits to make like weird like aphrodisiac recipes. Mm-hmm. So it was like sexual, but it was ghosts and it was like...
Oh my God. I mean, I'm laughing and I'm a little bit like, you know, shocked or whatever, but also I'm that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to buy this side, what's it called? Like a buffet side table.
Oh, like the serving tray thing.
Oh, no, like a big, like, I think it's called a buffet.
Yeah. Wait, is it? It's not a Lazy Susan.
No. Oh my God. I'm just going to have to show you. But I was trying to buy one on Facebook Marketplace. It was so pretty. And I absolutely loved it. And sideboard. How did I forget that?
Oh, yeah.
So, but they call it buffet. I don't know why. I tried to buy it. The guy was like, oh, no, I have someone coming and they're pretty much going to buy it. Like it's 99% sold. But they just told me that their van broke down and they're going to come on Saturday. And as a Facebook Marketplace whore,
You truly are. All of yesterday, Aurelia and I hosted this gig of a particular queer festival in Melbourne. And every time we got off stage, Aurelia was showing me some new fresh hell on Facebook Marketplace.
So, you know, it's my milieu. I love it. And whenever somebody's like, my van broke down, that's pretty much like, oh, I'm not going to come get it. Like people fuck you around on Marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they like don't really want to commit to buying stuff. So I was like, okay, well, they haven't fully gotten it yet. So I'm really going to go hard on a manifestation. So I had, it was a red sideboard. So I burned some red candles.
I can see the logic. Yeah.
I lit my incense. I lit a candle and the candle was called Amber, which is kind of red. So yes. I chose that one. And then I was like incessantly like checking and messaging and being like, I'm really keen, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I didn't fucking get it. But... I fuck with that logic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe you needed to do some spirit cooking.
Yeah, and... I think that's the missing ingredient in my manifestation is spirit cooking, clearly.
I feel like that there's so little logic and stuff in the world that sometimes you literally, if you want something to happen, especially Facebook Marketplace, which is the Wild West.
It's
just feral. There is no law there. And so it is kind of like you have to light some fucking candles because that's the only way anything is going to come into fruition.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or you'll just have like 30 people being like, can I have your pay ID? Give me your email. Click on this link.
Yeah, like scammers.
Hard scammers.
I recently swapped out our old fridge broke and so we got a new one. And when we were like swapping them over, I was kind of like, I really should probably put this up on Facebook Marketplace, even though it's kind of like on its last legs anyway. I was like, I just feel like wasteful just like chucking this out. But then I was like, do I really want to have to be engaging with like a broke fridge on Facebook Marketplace? I'm like, I can't even be fucked. I just literally throw it's sitting in my driveway just under the rain, getting worse and worse every single day. I'm like, can't bring myself to take it to the tip or do something.
Oh, you can just book the hard rubbish online via your council website.
Oh my god.
To anyone who doesn't know.
Not a sponsor.
Not sponsored. I don't know which council you're in, but I've moved so much over the years and had to get rid of various things at different times. And you usually get one free hard rubbish collection a year.
Oh.
And it's only limited by like you can't have, you know, a room this size full of shit. You can only have like so and so many cubic meters and they come and pick it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super handy. Wow. I also found it so funny that like you're talking about this, the Facebook Marketplace and Depop and all those things were set up to make like secondhand purchasing more convenient, but we've somehow still managed to like add so much fuckery that like it's so much more confusing than it needs to be, to the point where you're like, I'll just leave this fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of the home.
Yeah. Mm. I can't get into that cesspool.
It's so awful to have to deal with the messages, honestly.
I love him. I mean, I hate him, but then there's a secret. There was a guy, actually, he was really great. We were trying to sell a couch and he came around and he just was like, can I sit on it? And we were like, you know what? Yeah. Come around, sit on it. And he came and he sat on it and then he was just chatting to us and then he was just like kind of bounced. It was like we were in a showroom, but it was our living room. And he was like, I'll get it. Like, I feel great.
Like it was like the beginning of a thread. Like he would then be like, can you sit on me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's so true. We didn't even think about that. We're like, yeah, we'll just let this guy into our house. That's big man too. Easy to catch us.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying stuff.
We were talking about like manifesting and spirits before. Did you see today that Julia Fox has claimed that she lives with a ghost?
What?
Yeah.
What kind?
I don't know the kind. I'm not versed in the lexicon, but she says that the ghost's name is Beauty and it lives in her apartment.
As in like Black Beauty, the horse?
Yeah, a beautiful.
As in the apartment where she also has rats?
Yeah. It might just be the rats in the walls, babe.
Yeah, true. She's just hearing like scratching and she's like, I'm haunted.
Sometimes you just got to say it's ghosts.
No, but like in our apartment building, there's an elevator and it's kind of temperamental. Like you go to the ground floor, but it'll stop at level 3 and nobody's getting on at level 3 and people are like, it's haunted. Like that, the building used to be a theater. So they're like, oh yeah, it's the theater ghost.
And that's like, true.
I love theater ghosts and like legends like that. They're so fun.
Well, 3 is just one half of 13.
True. I feel like every number visually is cursed in some culture, in some way. People are like, oh, 6, that's the bad one.
That's but it. Then, do you have a lucky number?
4.
8.
8's good. Infinity. 8's
good. Do you know that's so funny that you said, because 4 is super unlucky in Chinese. Yeah.
And Japanese. It means death.
Yeah. It means death.
Not why I... Yeah, I'm really edgy.
Yeah, it means my favorite.
I'm goth.
Do you have one, Aurelia?
I was just like thinking, like scrambling. I don't think I really have one.
I really like 17 as well.
17's hot.
Yeah. I like any
Jolly.
That's what they sing in
Edge of 17.
Yeah, Edge of 17 and Heather's the musical, isn't it?
Yeah, and Dancing Queen was also 17 too.
Yeah.
Apparently your lucky number is your birthday number added together. So it's like becomes a single digit.
Oh.
Like you keep going until it's single. So if like my birthday is the 13th, so it becomes 4.
Oh.
Perfect harmony. Yeah. I think there was a TikTok filter for that. And my number was something like your angel number, like 333444.
I love thinking about that shit though. And it's fun because then every time like you think it's like that thing where it's like one, you know, when you hear a word for the first time and you've never heard it before or it's defined for you the first time and then you suddenly see it everywhere. Yeah. Mm. I feel like it's the same with like numbers and angel. When I heard about angel numbers, I started seeing it everywhere. But it's also like, even if it's like not true and it's all just coincidence, it's nice to just have something to be like, ooh. Like I've got a friend who has an angel number that also like reminds her of her grandmother who passed away and they were really close. And like every time she sees it, she's like, oh, that's like, oh, that's Baba. Like that's my grandmother hanging around. And I'm like, that's fucking beautiful. Like, and it's just nice to have those little things. Life is hard. Yeah, we can have angel numbers.
Yeah, don't angel shame me.
Come on, let us.
It's like that tweet, like if I choose to see like beauty and serendipity in the way when my microwave stopped, like who are you?
Yeah,
take that away from me.
Well, maybe that's what Julia Fox was doing. She literally saw beauty in the rats in her house.
Well, I'll just say I was listening to her audiobook, her autobiography. Have either of you?
No, but I've listened to a podcast talking about it.
Oh, celebrity
that's
memoir.
Yeah.
Okay. So all these things, I'm not finished with it, but it was just all this crazy stuff happens to her. And it just kind of goes to show that you like, I mean, obviously you don't really know anyone, but it was really easy to make up this image from her really chaotic presence that thrust her in the limelight with Kanye and everything. But then hearing about like the way she grew up in New York and Italy and you're like, oh, it all makes sense. And it was actually really harrowing and sad. And like, I feel like it gives me another dimension to appreciate how unhinged she is. Like, it just adds up.
Even the way she dresses and stuff is just kind of, like, extreme and cool. And it's, like, after everything that she's sort of gone through, her experiences and her interactions with men, it's, like, let her wear the lowest cut leather pants in the world. You know what I mean? Let her.
Yeah.
I'm really into that. I love that. I think the Julia Fox thing is interesting when she talks about Kanye West as well and like that whole situation. I'm sure you guys have seen, I mean, she did go to my high school, but we couldn't be further apart. his current wife, quote unquote, I think they're not actually legally married, but Bianca Censori, the photos he's been posting of her online.
He's turning her into like a robot. Like,
Yeah. I feel like something is going on there. Like,
it's like, it feels like revenge porn, but he's still with her.
Yes.
And it's like, she's too smart for this.
Yeah.
So what type of benefits is she getting or what manipulation is going on?
Yeah. Honestly, who knows? I just hope she's fucking getting something out of it. Do you know? Yeah. Like, but some of those pigs.
Because it feels like if it was like I'm in this for like a PR relationship, you know, this will raise my profile kind of thing, which every celebrity tends to do these days. it feels like Kanye is one of those people where it's like, yeah, but do you want to get tangled up in all that mess?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, what's the out? What's the game plan?
That guy's building a cult, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been running a cult for a long time. Like, thinking back to, I was listening to a Sunday service choir thing that popped up on my Spotify playlist, which was his churchy era. I don't know if you remember. So he had this like whole Sunday service where everyone was like dressed in coordinated Yeezy sweats. And it was the whole thing of like wearing a lot of nude colors, which I think is still persisting now. But especially 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, I was actually traveling through LA and I was like, oh my God, how can I go to the Sunday service choir? And I just remembered like talking about Sunday service choir with people and wanting to go. And then now being like, oh my God, thank God I didn't go to that. Yeah. Culty bullshit.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? I was indoctrinated without like even knowing.
You it's just like- wanted that free Yeezy tracksuit.
Absolutely.
I want to ask guys, because I was out of sorts last Monday. I'm just wondering if you're seeing all the lip reading stuff that's going on.
Oh yeah. Selena and
we
Timothy.
We did briefly talk about that as well.
Yes, we did.
I'm just wondering if like celebrities can just like have a little conversation now. I feel like now we've just like, any sort of, not just Golden Globes, but any situation, you see celebrities mouthing to each other on the street and they're like, where's that lip reader lady? Like comments from that. And then she's on there being like, the buffet's at 6. Great. Yeah, see you there. And it's like, part of me is like, obviously we care about celebrity culture and stuff like that. And man, am I curious to find out. But there's some things where I'm like, I can't possibly open up the idea that I can lip read every single, or that like any conversation between celebrities is going to have some woman who can lip read unpacking it for me. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the whole thing?
It does feel like nothing sacred with the level of like constant filming of everybody having a smartphone and, you know, whipping it out. Even at what I feel like should be a closed event, like the, you know, because it feels like that was filmed by another like celebrity. Like how did anyone get that footage?
The official footage. It was
they were cutting to it.
Oh,
yeah, they cut to it.
It's like a kiss cam.
Yes.
Yeah, like it's the official
secrets
coverage.
Are happening in the audience.
It was so weird to watch.
I know, but from like a business perspective, the Golden Globes and all the award show are a business, and we're not talking about them unless we're like, oh my God.
True.
Like, oh, why the fuck else? Everything that like goes bad is like another reason for us to talk about it, which is, you know, I love that. But also you're right. Nothing is sacred anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing is right anymore. Actually, watch this TikTok of someone sharing this like Substack that was about not documenting everything and like having things that are offline. And I'm trying to like do that for myself, but also still kind of being like, oh, it is nice to look back at things.
It's like a journal.
But unless you actually actively look back through your camera roll, and most people don't, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
It is interesting. I was talking about this with a friend as well, of being like, and we all have like close friends as well. And that feels like this is so lame to say, and I'm going to like certainly kill myself after I hear this back. But it does feel like a bit nice to have, like, because my partner and I are fostering a dog at the moment. I was just posting about him on Close Friends, and Kaze was like, why did you just post it to Close Friends? And I was like, I don't know. It just felt nice, especially because our profiles are becoming, we have to use them to promote shows, for work, especially for you already. It feels nice to have this, like, little thing, especially because social media started out, and I still have so many people on Instagram that I follow that I'm just like curious about how they're going. Like we worked together 10 years ago and I'm still like, how's your wife? You know what I mean? Like, and it feels nice to have that kind of like little moment, because it is that thing of like sharing constantly can feel a bit, or like something like I really had to stop myself sometimes of being like, getting rid of Twitter was really helpful, because I was like, every thought.
Yeah, true. I got rid of Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still there, unfortunately.
X.
The rebranding did it for me. I didn't like opening it. I want to see a little blue birdie.
It really feels like a porn app on my phone. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's like black and it's like, it's got like the, you know, it's the nondescript.
Porn.
Yeah. And also all the porn.
Yeah, true.
We were talking about award shows. Did you see at the Critics' Choice Awards Ryan Gosling's reaction to I'm Just Ken winning Best Original Song?
No, what did he do?
He looked so unimpressed.
Yeah, he didn't hide the fact that he thought it was a joke. He was like, literally, what the hell?
I mean, come on. It's a song that obviously it's a parody song, but it really did well. It was a really well-written parody song that people were obsessed with. And it's still, that doesn't mean that it's any better or worse than Billie Eilish's song as well. It's just a different genre, but also funny. And doesn't that guy cheat on his wife all the time?
Does he?
I listen to a lot of blind items about him.
Okay, tell me right now.
With that comment.
I like thought he was a family man.
I thought he was one of the nice guys.
I thought they were rock solid.
A wife guy.
Do you remember when he won the Oscar or the Golden Globe and he was like calling out to his, like did a shout out to his wife that was like really beautiful? In hindsight, reminds me of when men suddenly do a, just want to do an appreciation post for my girlfriend. Yeah. And I'm like, you fucking cheated.
Yeah. It's the new age equivalent of buying your wife an expensive gift out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This is obviously blind items. Alleged, probably bullshit. But I was like, but also I'm kind of like, yeah, the guy cheats. I don't know. There's something about it where I'm like, everyone in Hollywood probably cheats all the fucking time. But he is with Eva Mendes, famously.
Yeah.
Since they've been together.
Is she Desperate Housewives?
No.
Wait, who am I thinking of? I have no idea who this is.
I don't even know. She's been like so off.
Yeah.
Off mainstream movies, but her Instagram is popping off.
Yeah.
Oh, I checked in on her like a few months ago.
Oh, good.
You know, like keeping tabs.
You got to.
Yeah.
She was in Hitch.
Okay.
So that's heavy hitter. That on that.
Got it.
And she's great. She's
Place Beyond the Pines. That's where they're at. They pretended to be, I mean, they were acting in a movie together, being together. And then there's this like cute famous quote. He was like, and we're pretending it, didn't want it to be pretend, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, everyone's like, oh, that's so hot. But also,
here I am with like truly no evidence, but apart from like anonymous DMs to Dumois.
Yeah. But maybe she's cheating too. Maybe it's mutual. Well,
I always think about that with actors that fall for like castmates, because it's kind of like, if you're capable of blurring the line and like falling for someone on set, then that means that you're capable for that ongoing.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of the blind items as well were about him constantly taking up work, even though she's asked him to not take on as many roles so that he can be home and help out. And also the fact that when she's been up for roles and stuff like that, she's been said yes and then suddenly pulled out. And it's usually because he's taken on a project with more prestige at the same time. And one of them has to be home.
Okay, I'm off Ryan Gosling. I'm so angry right now.
I'm going to just put a pin in my love for him because
You're just Ken, fuck you.
Well, that was the other annoying thing about I'm Just Ken winning that award, is that it was sort of bringing that problem that happened with the Oscars when Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actor over Stephanie Sue from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
And it's like a movie that is specifically about, like, that she slayed in.
And she was winning every award. Yeah.
And it was like she gave her life to that role. And then, you know, it's a movie all about growing up Asian in America. And then it's like, let's give it to the one character that was a white woman playing a random librarian role that really had no, like, emotional weight.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, I feel like I'm Just Ken winning. It's like this fun, rising number about he's just Ken. It's like, whatever. No one gives a shit. But then the whole, like, point of Barbie seems very the opposite.
That is, like, interesting.
I mean, it always happens. It's like a movie for women about women, and it's like a man wins.
Yeah.
Like a movie about the Asian experience in America, and a white woman wins, and so forth and so on. I feel like it's kind of predictable, but also whenever it happens, I'm still shocked.
And it's also like the way that they vote for those awards, I'm not sure about Critics' Choice, but remember, actually would have been for Jamie Lee as well. Remember when Green Book won and everyone was like, huh?
What is Green Book? I don't even remember.
Well, it was an Oscar-winning film, one film of the year.
Wasn't it about a driver of the famous African-American, I'm pretty sure, musician.
I remember the ad.
His driver was Viggo Mortensen.
Mm.
And then they had this unlikely bond. I haven't seen it. I've just seen, like, you know when you're on TikTok and there's like an account that reposts.
Yes.
Yeah, you watch the whole movie on TikTok. The whole
part one of 12 and you're like trying to.
Yeah.
Like, I can't sit down and watch a film, but I will find every single TikTok.
Yeah, we're broken.
100%. Oh, my God. We won't be fixed. It's so devastating.
I don't want to be fixed. I don't want to watch. I can't watch movies over 90 minutes. I hate to be a millennial.
No. All movies should be 90 minutes. Also, I think that all comedy festival shows should be $5 and 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
With my whole chest, I believe that.
I so wish. Yes. I'm like trying to put together my show because I'm like doing one this year against my better judgment. And like people don't realize this, dear listeners, when you do a festival show, you're fronting all the costs as the comedian.
Yeah.
And you're doing like, you know, 10 shows, 20 shows, whatever.
Yeah, sometimes
it
people
is.
Ask me like, oh, so like, do they pay for you to perform? I was like,
no,
oh my God.
I wish them in advance. I haven't even made any money and I'm like spending $500 on the registration, the photo shoot, blah, blah, the posters. And they've put up the prices of the room higher because they kind of made it a little bit cheaper during COVID. Mind you, it was still very expensive. And now I've had to like up my ticket prices. And I mean, I didn't up them by that much, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to have the same margins. And it's just really frustrating because we're in a cost of living crisis and we're like trying to make shows and put out like art, not pretending that my comedy is the highest art form, but it just sucks.
It's tricky. And it's like balancing act of like, I need it to be cheap enough that I fill the theater, that I sell enough tickets, but then also it's a gamble. It's literally a gamble.
And
most people will only see one show.
And you want to, like, as much as you're like, I want to help other people in the like cost of living crisis, it's also like, well, I'm in a cost of living crisis as well. And I need to make money from this show.
Mm.
And it's hard when sometimes, like, the bigger acts, like, I'm doing a festival in a different city than Melbourne. And it's more of a boutique festival. And their prices are just so much higher.
Mm.
Like, even than here. Like, it feels ridiculous for me to put my tickets that high, but...
Everyone's prices are that high.
Everyone's prices are that high. And, like, if you're not in it, then you just don't make enough to even be back next year kind of thing. And it's just gross.
And, like, honestly, that's the whole reason when you are a comedian and you're, like, starting out and people are like, when are you coming to XYZ? And I'm like, okay, well, I went to Sydney and I had to spend this much time there.
Yep.
And then I added it all up and I made like $70. Like,
I'm
not. And then I'm in Sydney with like no, like away from my partner and my dog.
Totally. I was in Edinburgh this year, as was Charlie, but I was just there as a punter for about a week and I was on a trip with a couple of friends and they came with, they're not performers or anything. And we were walking around and they did that classic thing. We're like, how does the Fringe pay all these artists? And then also,
oh, bless.
And I just had to sit down and be like, oh, so it's 10 grand to do Ed Fringe as an Australian artist. Like,
And that's modest.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
I was like, that's it. That if you're going to do it, it's going to be 10 grand. And they were like, yeah, then what do you make? And I was like, sometimes nothing.
Yeah. And in fact, you're lucky if your debt is not 10 grand.
Yeah, exactly. It was so interesting. But also, it's just like, it's that weird thing where you have to like, and I'm sure any freelancers listening can totally empathize with this, where you have to, when you put a worth to your work as well, or like to yourself.
Yeah.
And especially at this time, when they're asking for ticket prices and stuff at a time, where you're still writing your show and you're like in the depths of self-hatred. You're like, I guess a dollar and you get to slap me. Like, I'm worth fuck all. Like, it is funny, but also devastating.
Yeah. While we're talking about Edinburgh, can you please tell the lovely listeners about the 9/11 musical that you saw?
Oh my god!
I really don't know about this.
9/11 the musical?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I'm actually coming up in hives thinking about it, but like good hives. So I went and did a few spots in Edinburgh, and I went and did this like afternoon show with a friend of the show and comedian Pete Jones and Lewis Garnham. And afterwards, I was like, I've got a bit of time before I'm going to catch up with my friends. I was like, maybe I'll go see another show. And they were like, we're going to see a 9/11 musical. And I was like, where do I buy tickets?
Yeah.
And they were like, would you be interested? And I was like, are you just a Pope shit in the woods?
Yes.
Like, do you know me?
That
do
is the perfect intersection of my interests.
I was like, I'm curious about that. Not that I endorse the event or celebrate it, but I am curious about I'm more curious about the culture's take on horrific things that have happened rather than which I want to circle back to. Just remind me to talk about the film May December. But I saw 9/11 the musical. It was done with their full chest, earnest.
Mm-hmm.
Not a joke at all. Cast of like 25 people, all from the States. I thought they were British and putting on an accent or something like that. No, they were American. They'd flown over. The guy who wrote it was also the star. His daughter was in it too. The backdrop was, the windows. It was like a projection, and it was the windows. And then I thought that was a static image until we saw the plane. We saw the plane, little janky, little anime plane, fly into, unfortunately, below the window. So at that point, I was like, all right, well, we know what's going to happen to these guys. But I think like the most insane moment was like how long the musical went for before the plane hit. The audience reaction, the seats we were on, you know, when you're on a roster, yeah. Like those like janky little ones from like school musicals and stuff, it was shaking. Everyone was, the people behind us were clearly there for the same reason that we were there. And there was this guy in this British accent that just went, I'd forgotten what it was about. They were just, and it was all these like weird flashbacks. Oh. Every single character had a backstory and somebody that they kept, which is true. But I was like, if you're going to write a musical, you just focus on a few people. The part that like, yeah, really got me was that there was a whole song about the Bronx versus NYC. And they were like, what do you get? Why do you not? And then the girls did a reprise of that same song, but just talking about men and how disgusting they are. And so there's these three girls that start being like, and he's in the toilet for hours. Plane hits. Yes. No. So they were like, he's always gassy. And then like it was just like
a toilet joke
and girls being like, men, they don't put the toilet seat down, like literally. And it was just, and
so
then there
hilarious.
Was this woman who was an older actor, and I saw her in the street later, and I was like, oh my gosh, she made it. But she did was come in and do like jokes about being gassy and her arthritis. She was like, everyone of my arthritis, and then make like, you know, that kind of joke, and then she'd walk off laughing. Anyway, she suddenly jumps out the window.
Oh my god, but no.
Her jumping off the window was her just like going like side stage, and so every time they pushed the curtain back, you could kind of see her just like hide.
Oh my god.
Anyway, it was a dream come true. I obviously am not laughing. Stars. I'm not laughing at the event, but I am curious about how people, particularly Americans, yes. take on huge catastrophic moments and decide to fail
miserably.
It's so disrespectful.
I clashed with that show, and it was my biggest regret of my time in Edinburgh.
Oh,
but
my God.
I cried myself with laughter reading the reviews, because so many people, this is so insensitive, so wrong, so deeply boring, so long and indulgent.
Oh, God.
It reminds me of in the stage version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory revamp. They don't get into the factory until the second act.
Oh my God.
So the whole first act,
Charlie
is just
and the
like,
gate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Charlie and his family in bed. Like it's it's a mess.
That disgusting bit.
We were talking before about Ryan Gosling, and it made me think of Rachel McAdams from The Notebook, and we have to talk about SNL this week.
I haven't seen it.
But have you heard about like who they got as the guests this week?
No, nothing.
Oh my
God.
Jacob Elordi, who went to the same school as Charlie.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, did I tell you to like very mild, lukewarm Jacob Elordi tea?
No, and I'm desperate to hear it.
Okay, so it's so boring, but essentially his family has money and he had all these different interests. Like Australian rules football, so everything went into him like becoming a professional football player. He was big into cricket, so everything went into that, like, and they were just able to like finance whatever he like kind of really wanted. And then when he settled on acting, it was like, okay, now we have the money to like launch his acting career and get him like all the best, blah blah blah. I don't know which agent he got, but apparently it was like the one that people always get before they blow up, who get them like American stuff. Because when you think about it, it's like, I don't know what Jacob Elordi was in before Euphoria, but why is that Australian-ass man on that show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? He leapt over in Kissing Booth.
Like, I was just going
to say. Oh, true, yeah. Kissing Booth.
No,
sorry,
but even that, that was a jump.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was an awful movie, but I watched all three.
And he now shits on it. He's
I
like,
mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So how was this SNL?
Well, so it was Jacob Elordi, and it was also Renee Rapp, who I was talking about last week, remember?
Yes, I remember.
Well, her press tour for this thing has gone up a notch because she has now like kind of fully come out as lesbian. Like this is just a shift that has happened in the past month, but she was sort of talking about being bi And then, like, all of her posting now is, like, lesbian, 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 which is very cool and fun and we love. And she was the musical guest and also did some sketches. But she performed her song Not My Fault with Megan Thee Stallion, who came and performed with it.
Huge.
And amazing. She got introduced by Rachel McAdams, who played original Regina George.
Oh, my God.
Sort of thing. And Renee Rapp has, in all these, like, interviews, people will be like, have you ever met Rachel McAdams, like, the original Regina sort of thing? She's like, no, I haven't. But when I inevitably do, I'm just going to, like, melt because I'm so, like, lesbian in love with her sort of thing. Like, she's just been, like, lusting after Rachel.
Yes.
And then, and so, like, you could just see her reaction being like, this is insane sort of thing. And so, like, as Jacob is, like, wrapping up the episode and, like, saying bye, everyone sort of thing, it's just, like, Renee and Rachel, like, behind him just sort of, like, blowing kisses to each other. Like, oh, I love you. God. It's like, no, I love you.
They're so cute. I fucking love that shit.
That's adorable.
Oh my God, I was going to say something and I've completely lost it, and it was going to be so profound and so incredible.
And so funny and deep.
So
everything.
Funny and deep.
Rachel, Renee, Megan Thee Stallion being a lesbian.
Jacob
Elordi. Jacob Elordi. School. SNL.
I can't. It's gone. Something is wrong. Anyway, we'll come back to it. But yes. I thought it was a very funny episode of SNL. I thought Jacob did really well. You guys have seen Saltburn as well?
Yeah. Hated it.
We briefly talked about it last week, but Scout hadn't seen it.
So
we didn't get into the nitty gritty.
I've been talking with friends about Barry
Keoghan.
Keoghan. Yes. I don't see it for me.
He looks exactly like the type of lesbian I would have dated 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I think that every time I see him, I really would have dated him 4 years ago.
I love him. I think he's, like, beautiful and a really beautiful actor. I don't want to fuck him. Can everybody calm down?
I know.
Yeah, but I feel like we are highlighting all these men's all these men who are, like, not maybe traditionally hot, like Jeremy Allen White, Adam Driver, Barry, last name hard to pronounce. We're, like, idolizing all these men who are, like, hot but not high school jock hot.
And it is nice as well, because also I feel like that reflects, like, how people feel. Like, I, especially with men, when I, like, my friends and I talk about it all the time, of just being like, they gotta be a little funny looking.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's like Adam Driver in particular, it's just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's gotta look a little fucked.
Yeah, you need some stank on it.
Yeah. Maybe it wouldn't be so kind hearing someone being like, yeah, I want a chick looking a bit fucked. No, but I wish that that conversation was happening about women as well.
I know, but it never is, because people are like, oh my God, we have, like, a woman who's, like, not like traditionally good looking or whatever. And then it's like Anya Taylor-Joy, who's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh yeah, what the,
like,
hell?
Oh my God, I was bullied for, like, having eyes that are wide apart. And I'm like, oh my God, your eyes are so beautiful. Like, whenever we have a woman who's, like,
yes,
not the beauty standard, you actually look at her and you're like, you are a fairy.
She's a model.
From outer space. Yeah. I'm, like, mesmerized by your beauty. You could, like, put a spell on me.
Yeah, it's essentially, you know, being like, I was always bullied for having, being skinny and having big tits.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were. It is a bit insane. Yeah, I think that the Saltburn and the Jacob Elordi, I think Jacob Elordi is a really charismatic actor. Like, I think he is really good. Mm. And, like, obviously, but it is so funny watching him in, like, interviews and stuff, on the way that they talk to him and talk about Australia and Australian culture. Like, he's some, like, true blue bloke, and it's no, this is, like, Turak.
Yeah,
he's so far removed.
He's a baby girl soft boy.
Like
Timothée Chalamet. Yeah.
He has smartly kind of cornered that market of, like,
he's wearing Cardis.
Yeah, really Gen Z, like.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I've just lost my train of thought.
What is happening to us today?
Yeah.
we're being haunted by beauty, the ghost.
Oh my God.
She's taking our memories. I literally, just before, I feel like you maybe feel the same way. It feels like that moment in, like, Harry Potter where Dumbledore takes the memory Beauty's mine is the one being like, fuck, you're not going to make any sense.
Yeah, maybe we've, like, left the gas on in here. We're all, like, slowly descending into madness.
Speaking of descending into madness, I want to talk to you guys about a movie that I saw that isn't coming out for a couple of weeks. Because you know how to be eligible for awards, if movies are on streaming services, they have a really quick cinematic release?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was, they did that, but for May, December, which is a Todd Haynes movie starring Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman. It is, I think, a pretty great film.
A friend at work was like, it's the gay guy movie of the year.
So where do you stream it?
So you'll stream it on Netflix in early February. So it's still ages away. And I looked up because I was like, I saw it and I thought that I was seeing some random like premiere event. I didn't get invited. I bought these tickets myself. Yeah, yeah. I looked up when it was playing at Nova Cinema and got those tickets. Yeah. But it was truly on for one night and there's no other cinemas playing it. You have to, and it's not a movie that I'm like, oh my God, you have to see it on a screen. You can watch it on your laptop. Yes. And it would still come across. It's made for Netflix. But it's about the relationship between Mary Letourneau, I can't remember her full name, but she was that 34-year-old. I'm sure you've seen the interview on TikTok popping up where she like assaulted and then ended up in a relationship with a 12-year-old boy who's in grade 7, and he impregnated her before the trial. So she gave birth to their first daughter in prison, and then she got out, got pregnant again, and then she went back to prison again, I think. Anyway, and then they were together until I think they ended up breaking up in 2015, and she died a couple years later of cancer, and he came back and like sat by her side while she died. Anyway, it's obviously like a horrific tale of abuse, but she's such a fucking insane woman and so cut off from reality in order to support her own narrative that she is not a pedophile. Mm-hmm. She can't hear that. So she's like, it's a love story. This is like a beautiful thing that people don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And in this 60 Minutes, weirdly Australian 60 Minutes, this interviewer is talking to them and she suddenly goes, because he's like, but you were in control, Mary. Like you were the older one. And she just turns to her partner and is like, who was the boss? And he's like, what do you mean? She goes, who was the boss? And just keep saying it. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, well, yeah, I guess I pursued you. You seduced me. You were the boss.
That's chilling.
Yeah. And it feels like a private moment. Like, I mean, I'm glad we saw it because it was such a revealing moment. But it's just like they actually reenact that scene in the movie in a more like what you'd think is a more private setting.
Because isn't the movie not just like biopic, or it's not like about her, it's about someone playing the role of her, is that right? It's like a meta, it's like a film within a film.
It's more of a, yeah, and it's kind of like, it's that thing as well of like the 9/11 musical of it all. Yes. Where it's like Natalie Portman is this actor who's gonna play her in a movie, so she's coming to stay in their town and to hang out with them and to learn about them so that she can like study the character. But and the music and stuff in it, it's such a piss take on like how we will latch onto these horror stories and these like horrific events and then suddenly just turn them into like Lifetime movies and or you know, even musicals, like biopics, musicals and stuff like that, and Frank the Musical, you know, all this stuff where it's like it doesn't need to be touched for entertainment. And it's kind of, I feel like it really respectfully does it from my perspective, because the two women, Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore, are so like in their own world, and the way that they're shot and their dialogue is so far from reality. But the children and the partner, the guy who plays him, Charles, is incredible. I can't remember his last name, but he's great. And they're treated as like real people, whereas those two women are like fairies.
Yeah. I've heard that it's like hilarious and then like also dark and like really just fascinating. I really can't wait to see it.
Yes. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about that.
Did you guys see this week that Sara Ramirez from And Just Like That, who plays the iconic and hated Shay Diaz, has been dropped from And Just Like That because...
Finally.
But...
I fucking hate her character. I'm sorry. Shay Diaz is the worst written character I've ever, like, had the displeasure to watch.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm so sorry.
I am with you 100%. But the reason they dropped them is because they spoke out in supporting Palestine.
That was quickly rebuked because they had dropped Sara Ramirez before... She spoke out about Palestine and she made it about like, oh, look at me. I spoke out about Palestine.
Has it been rebuked though? Because
Cynthia Nixon has been pretty vocal about pro-Palestine.
So oh, really?
That's why I was like, and it's hard because I'm like, but they probably also just want to get rid of you.
No, I think it's like a double thing of like, okay, well, nobody likes watching the character extremely bad for badly received, also badly written.
The writers brought this on themselves.
But also then it's such a shady ass move to make this about Palestine when it's not. And I've seen this before with Scream.
Somebody actually
did get dropped from Scream because of
Melanie.
Melanie got dropped. But then people were like, and also
Jenny Ortega.
But Jenny Ortega had actually left the project months before.
Yeah. And she's getting like props for doing nothing.
And I mean, it's not the worst thing for people to get props for doing nothing. But I mean, I'm not going to be here and like shout from the rooftops about Sarah Ramirez being mistreated. It's kind of like not clear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a whole other episode and people like trying to like gain followers. Sean King.
Well, yeah.
Like people trying to profit from tragedy by appearing as activists, fundraising, taking the funds for themselves and not actually giving anything to the communities affected.
Yeah. Also repeatedly showing horrific images when people from the community have asked them not to.
Is this Sean King?
Yeah. Not specifically about Palestine. I mean, again, a whole other podcast, but it is wild that people want to profit from this stuff.
Yeah. And honestly, Papa Flop, Sean King, flop every day.
I don't know Sean King. Who's Sean King?
You'll see his name now. When people post a lot of stuff, they're often sharing from his account. Not all the time, but some people are.
It's like one of those like compiling carousel kind of accounts.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. So like rather than sharing people that are in Gaza right now, Palestinian voices, people are resharing Sean King, who's actually just resharing theirs. He's creating like fundraising links. He's pocketing that money. He has a history of doing so throughout the Black Lives Matter movement and the pandemic and other things. And I feel like he is really palatable to the white community because he's very light skin. And I mean, there's like Twitter accounts that are like, Sean King is white. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, so he's had this history of like fundraising and not actually giving the money to the people and so on. So just stay clear. Any listeners, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
No, important PSA, I think. Because I hadn't seen his name coming up for a long time, and it's been popping up a lot recently because people want to spread awareness and because people are sharing the voices in Palestine, which is really, really important, and obviously we support that. But I think it's just one of those things where making sure that you're posting from Palestinian voices, I think, is vital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pop or flop.
I do have a pop for this week.
I have amazing. A pop too.
Oh my God.
I do as well.
Oh my God,
triple pop. Yes.
No, I like that. I need positivity.
Yeah.
I'll spread awareness with this pop because I feel like not a lot of people know you can listen to audiobooks for free on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't want to be like pro Spotify, but it is the app that most people use. And if you're already paying for it, you might as well listen to some audiobooks. Britney Spears audiobook, amazing. Julia Fox, really great. And I'm sure there's like a plethora of others. You do only get like 10 or 15 hours. So it sucks if you start a new book and you can't listen to it because then you have to pay.
That's how they get you.
Is that per month or is that overall? Oh, okay.
Like 10 or 15 hours per month. So it's like enough for one book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then you can just listen to Celebrity Memoir Book Club and it feels like you read the book anyway. Cross-promoting another podcast would not help us out.
The equivalent of I read the title of an article on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the TikTok summary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My pop is another thing that I've been watching. I watched the second episode today. The new season of True Detective is fucking cool. It is good. And if you don't like, I think a lot of people lost their way with True Detective because season 2 and 3 aren't great. Even if you don't want to watch season 1, that's fine. You could start with season 4. It was actually, I was told, written, the woman who wrote it pitched it to HBO as a separate show. And they were like, well, actually, maybe we could do this as a season of True Detective. It's great. It's set in Alaska during this time of year where it's the night. Mm. It's got Jodie Foster in it as the lead. And she's playing a really kind of like unlikable Karen policeman, and it's good, and it's all about climate change, and there's a lot of Indigenous voices involved in the project, and also like a lot of Indigenous women involved too, and it's like the mystery is fascinating to where we're up to is really interesting. It harkens back to the first season of True Detective where it's like kind of ghosty and mysterious, but you know that there's some real world stuff to it, but there's some unanswered questions too. I highly recommend. And also Jodie Foster.
Oh my God. Who did you see her comment about? She was like, Gen Z's
yes.
Like, are so lazy. It did get taken out of context, apparently.
Like
it
most
did.
Things.
I read the whole thing in the article. Like, what she was saying was actually quite sweet, like, about, because she talks about Bella Ramsey as well in a really beautiful way. But then it's so funny.
What was the gist of what she was saying? Because
I think she was just being like a typical like Gen X kind of bitch, just being like, well, they do, like, I think she was like, sometimes it seems like they're kind of lazy and they don't want to do it. But she kind of talked about how like when she came up, she was playing like a child prostitute in like 70s films. Like,
yeah. That was a great
She
movie.
Had a different
Taxi Driver.
One of three roles for women of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, she got dragged. I feel like, I'm sure she has that. And I think people in stand-up have it too, where you can't help but be like, you have to go through the dregs like
I
did. But it wasn't as bad
I feel
as that
about
article.
TikTok comedians that like have blown up. Like, and never had to, like, do the, like, crazy gigs that a lot of stand-ups
And then they crush and you're like, fuck you.
Yeah. You don't know where I've been.
Yeah.
I think my flop for this week is this thing that made me laugh. I never even watched this show, but it just is so funny to me. This actor from Wizards of Waverly Place on the Disney Channel. Did either of you watch?
I think I was a bit too old.
Yeah, me too. I think Selena Gomez was originally from that. I think that's how she got famous. But one of the actors, and it's one of those kind of like, it's the only thing that he has, the kind of actors. It's Tom Felton to Harry Potter.
Oh,
it's Taylor Lautner to talking about his ex being Taylor Swift vibes. It's just kind of like, get your own thing. One of the like side characters in that, he for years has tried to sort of like get back in with the series. And then after accepting that it wasn't going to happen, he finally got into like porn, which like, good for him. That's great. But Wizards of Waverly Place has announced that they're doing a reboot this week. And he's like posting, being like, what the fuck? Like, now that I'm like an adult entertainer and like can't come back to the show, like,
because he can't, like, because it's Disney?
Because it's like Disney. And he's like,
oh, Disney, that's so the standards of like not hiring like willing sex workers but constantly hiring pedophiles.
True.
Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very funny take from him as well. Yeah. Just being like,
I mean, way to plug your OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah.
I hope he gets lots of subscribers. I don't know how well paid the porn industry is, but I think you can make money there.
Well, people are talking about it. I mean, I didn't know anything about this show, and now I'm talking about the guy that came from that show. And,
we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. what's his name? Just out of curiosity.
I actually don't
know. No, you can tell me off air. All I can think of is Glen Waverley. The
Glen Waverley is a place.
Yeah. Okay. Glen Waverley plays.
The Witches of Glen Waverley.
Dan Benson.
Dan Benson. Shout out.
So hit up Dan Benson's OnlyFans. Help him get through another week without Wizards of Waverley Place.
Yes. We believe in you, Dan. Yeah. Bye,
friends.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.